work, 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 work. You see me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. That's something about that work, 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 work. When you walk a line. Welcome to Witworks Radio. It is Tuesday, November 19th. And this is Abby Pober from the Center for Cooperative Education and Career Development. We have a great show for you today, and I'm joined by my colleague, who I'm going to let introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Becky Smith. I'm a co-op and career advisor in co-ops and careers. And today we're going to talk about the benefits of optional co-op. We have a guest today, and I will let him introduce himself. Tell us your name and your major and what year you are.
Hello, my name's Orion Collins. I am a junior in computer networking. I'm also pursuing a minor in computer science.
Yeah, so Orion feels strongly that optional co-op's beneficial. He's here to talk with us about that. So to start off, Orion, tell us about your optional co-op. It was at Harvard University, right? And it was this past summer?
Yes. I worked as a solutions engineer at Harvard. Sounds like a fancy title, but really it was just a help desk, you know, nothing too crazy. So, but while I was working there, I got the ability to experience, you know, how businesses operate on like a larger scale, because I'd only previously been experienced to like a small business. So working for a large institution, you know, gave me kind of a glimpse into how they operate on the inside. As far as the people I worked with, I really enjoyed working with all the people I met. My boss, you know, we call her affectionately the Whisk Mom, because she's always, her name's Lillian. She's always, like, making sure everyone feels good, and, like, she brings snacks to work, and, you know, she really cares about the co-ops and the people that work there with her.
And when you were on co-op, did you have a chance to work on any projects, or were you really working just the help desk day in and day out? What did the day look like and weeks look like for you?
So I had two positions. There was the walk-in support center, and then there was also the classroom and lab support technician. So when I was working at the walk-in support center, that's like a standard help desk. You know, I sit there, people come up with technology-related questions, typically how do I connect to the Wi-Fi? You know, I think I got a virus, how do I remove it? You know, network troubleshooting. Sometimes I had to help people with their homework, but, you know, that's how it goes. And when I worked at, and then that was at the help desk. So when I was out in the field, I was in charge of the labs of a whole region of Harvard campus. So I was in charge of the Southern River region, which was just a couple dorms and, in each dorm, there was a variety of printers and also some classrooms that had lab computers. These lab computers were Macs and Dells, and I was in charge of making sure that they were on the domain, you know, they could power on and off, network connection, troubleshooting, that kind of stuff, printer jam fixing, and refilling the paper on all the printers, too.
So you were always busy. Seems like it.
Kind of, and not really. When it first started, it was definitely like a lot to take in. But near the end of the semester, I kind of settled into the schedule a little more. And I was like, you know, waiting for a computer to image. I could, you know, be working on a project I had been assigned, or one I assigned myself.
Oh, that's really great.
Yes, it is. And so you were toggling back and forth, too. Yeah. So how did your search go for that optional co-op?
It definitely started off not hearing a single thing from anyone for a couple of weeks. I sent out like 10 applications a week. Well, a little, probably more than 10, probably like 20 a week. Just as soon as there was a job posted on Witworks, I would send the application. Even though you have there's additional job sites like LinkedIn you can use, Glassdoor, Indeed, I didn't really find much success applying to jobs through those websites, and Witworks was the primary communication I was using to when I actually started receiving emails from employers.
Well, that's good to hear.
Definitely is. So how long did it take? How many weeks of applying for 10 or 20 jobs per week?
It was about a month went by. That's when I first got my first interview. Mm-hmm. And one thing I did to apply to jobs was I didn't want to narrow my focus too much into just one role. So even though I landed in a help desk position, I was applying to, you know, software developer, any position that would accept sophomores, because I knew that being younger, I wouldn't have the work experience or the classroom experience that someone who was a junior would have. And so I was just looking for that opportunity to get into the field.
So thinking about you're about to go out on co-op again, for the spring semester, correct?
Yes.
How has your search process been going this time around?
It is definitely a lot more expedited. You know, I got responses back a lot quicker. Having that work experience on my resume, I think definitely affects how employers will, who employers approach first when they're looking for new candidates. So I had the kind of customer service and entry-level IT experience that I was already comfortable in, but just having the name validated that experience for the employers, and it made them more eager to reach out to me and schedule interviews.
And are you approaching your search any differently this time? Are you being more specific in the types of roles you're looking for, that sort of thing?
Yes, this time I got accepted at a position this coming spring at a network operations center. So more focused into what my career is going to be, you know, in my major of computer networking. But I attribute the ability to, you know, acquire that position from having the experience at Harvard too.
Great.
Cool. So we were going to ask you how you think the experience at Harvard affected your search. I think you've already answered that, unless you have anything else to say about that.
Projects. As much as Harvard was a benefit to my resume, I also worked on a project this summer that I did independently that also, I think, helped my resume out. So I would say that projects are second to work experience when it comes to applying to jobs and getting responses back.
Interesting. So taking on a personal project, teaching yourself some skills. Yeah. That's good to hear, because I know that we stress that with students. And I always like to tell students too, you know, when you're on co-op, you don't have homework hanging over your head. So when you're out of work, you could go work on a personal project. I'm glad you took that on. What did you learn from your optional co-op?
Technically, or like customer service, or
both?
Anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple workshops I had to do about customer service. So those were interesting to see how people can interpret various, you know, sentences and how to phrase things to provide the best solution to somebody without, you know, coming across as combative or demeaning to their, and you know, to them, because we do work in a technical field. At least I worked in a technical field, and so that's not something that everybody gets exposed to every day. And when they come to you with a problem, you're usually their last resort, and they kind of feel, not everybody, but some people might feel that, you know, oh, I didn't really want to bother the IT guy, but it, you know, it's my job, so I'm happy to help you. But it's, you know, from their perspective, you got to empathize with the customer.
That's really good advice. Yeah. I can personally understand that. I think that you're definitely answering most of those questions from people who are frustrated and they don't want to necessarily be asking you that question. So I'm wondering, as you are looking into going into this new networking position, will you be working in a customer service role, or how will you apply what you've learned from that, maybe working with your colleagues?
The role I'm going to be in is still going to be client facing, but it's not going to be more individual, you know, people coming up to a help desk. It's going to be more targeted troubleshooting questions. So I would say that I will still take into consideration, you know, being empathetic, and that has stayed with me, that, you know, seeing it from their perspective. So even if I'm doing more technical problems, I'll still have that essence of care with it. As far as working with my coworkers, I've always gotten along with my coworkers pretty well, but I attribute that to being a positive person that I don't really try to pick fights, you know? Mm-hmm. So just, if someone doesn't agree with you on something, that's fine. Just continue on with your life, you know? That's how it has been with me.
It's really great advice.
Yeah, that empathy is transferable mm-hmm. to so many scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. Like trying to assume good faith, put yourself in their shoes, and see what you both want to try to accomplish. That's really brilliant. What advice would you give to our current sophomores who are starting, by the way, to email and call co-op advisors? They're really starting to think about searching for a summer co-op already. What would be your advice for them?
I'd say that's excellent. I actually did Co-op Institute in the fall before I even started my job searching. Mm. So if you did Co-op Institute this semester, great. If you haven't, I'd recommend doing it in the fall coming up. Definitely being involved with the Co-ops and Careers Office assisted me in knowing what words to put on my resume, how to email employers. You know, they have a lot of great pamphlets that I read to kind of, before I got the first job. Now it's, at this point, I'm still learning, but it's more, you know, I can recollect on what I've done in the past. But when I was first starting and I didn't know what to say, the Co-ops and Careers Office really helped guide me on that.
Awesome. And since we're talking about that, I'll make a little public service announcement to our students. We are teaching Co-op Institute in the spring, starting in January, just like classes. You will be receiving emails and or seeing in the classroom. Co-op advisors are announcing all the information you need to sign up for Co-op Institute. You can find it in the Leopard Web if you want to go in and look for it yourself. And we are eager to teach those sophomores who want to do an optional summer co-op. People who are thinking about maybe doing an optional summer co-op should also sign up and get the support so you can sort that out. And anyone else who's doing a summer co-op or even wants to get a head start as they approach fall or next spring, sign up for Spring Co-op Institute.
Yeah, that's great. And I think you're echoing so much of what students tell us all the time about optional co-op, and that it just really prepares you for that time. It's a much less stressful experience because it's not mandatory. But when you go to that mandatory process, it makes it so much easier. I'm interested in knowing, are your peers also searching for co-op?
Yes.
And so how is their process differing from yours, or are you helping your friends in any way?
I try to encourage my friends help as much as I can, but it feels like echoes of the past. You know, a lot of what I was going through when I was going for the optional co-op, they're now going through on their first co-op. So I think it does alleviate some of that stress of, you know, doing it optionally. You're not really stressing about the deadlines versus when you are stressing about the deadlines and it's also new, then it becomes more overwhelming, you mm-hmm. know, and it probably, yeah, it's just more overwhelming.
And you said something earlier on in the conversation that I wanted to circle back about. You mentioned that it was difficult because you were a sophomore at the time, and so you didn't have anything on your resume. So what did you put on your resume to elevate yourself so that you did look competitive, because there might have been, you know, juniors and seniors also competing for that role?
I've had a job for a long time, so I put a job I had throughout high school on my resume. I also, again, that's where projects definitely came in. I had a pretty big project section. Skills, having a LinkedIn profile, I guess.
Mm.
It definitely got some people definitely checked it out. That's it. Projects was it. An experience at my other job.
That's great advice.
Oh, and high school. I worked at an IT program in my high school, so I put that on my resume too.
Oh, perfect. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah, that's great, because employers tell me, yes, I would love to hire someone with really relevant experience, but I'm also looking at what classes are they taking? What projects have they been doing in school? What else have they had on their plate while they're in school? They're kind of looking for indicators that you can be engaged and involved and accomplish a lot, whether that be right inside the box of, in this case, IT, or whether it's even a little bit more general. So sounds like you had the best possible sophomore resume, and then you just went from there.
That's great. I think the other thing I love about optional co-op is that, and going back to that no stress thing where you put in all this work, you search for a job, hopefully you get a co-op for the summer. But if you don't, you've learned a lot that you get to apply to that next co-op search. So maybe you learned to start a little earlier, or maybe you learned how to structure your cover letter or how to do follow-up. Maybe you missed the follow-up window by just a short amount, and that sort of thing. So I think that there's that, it's just a really cool experience to sort of, if you don't get it, which is not the norm, I don't believe, but if you don't get it, you've learned so much that you get to apply to your mandatory co-op. So it's really a win-win situation. And then if you don't get your co-op for the optional co-op, then maybe you want to work on a project that summer. And so kind of pivoting that energy and still making the most of your experience, I think, is a cool part about the optional co-op.
Absolutely. Orion, I'm curious, since you said you'd held a job for a long time, how did you decide whether to go back, continue with your old job, or try something new with this optional co-op? Since it is optional, sometimes students are a little torn. Well, why do the optional co-op? What were your thoughts about that?
I was really kind of matter-of-fact about it. The other job I held was a... It gave me a lot of customer experience because I taught swim lessons and I was a lifeguard, but I'm also going into IT and technology and computer networking. So I was like, I can get paid a little more or even get paid basically the same, but get a bunch of relevant work experience, or I can be bored out of my mind sitting watching a pool for 8 hours a day. So the decision for me was pretty like, you know, move on and advance in my life.
You're not torn at all. Well, I'm reminded of what a lot of students say to me when they're thinking about optional co-op. They say, I would work during the summer anyway, so why not try to get a job that's relevant to my major? It might pay more if I'm going to work anyway. So thanks for that.
Yeah. That was my exact thought process.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts on optional co-op we want to share?
I don't think so. Just that anyone who's thinking about it, give it a try. We advisors are here to support you. We're eager to help you go after it. Give it a try.
Yeah, you really can't lose with it. So I would also recommend that. Orion, do you have any parting words of advice, parting wisdom you want to share with students?
Definitely keep with it. And employers are looking, even if you don't have like the greatest technical experience, or and I'm thinking technical because that's my major, but even if you don't have the most relevant experience or you haven't done any projects, you still can get a job based off your charisma when you meet with the employer, because they're looking for someone that they can mold more than someone that knows everything right away.
That's completely true. We hear that over and over and over again from employers. They can teach you the technical stuff, but they really can't teach you the enthusiasm that you bring to the work you do. That's great advice.
It sure is. Any announcements, Abby?
Oh, we do have quite a few things to share. So we've got a few more. So if you are part of Co-op Institute, you probably know about these, but you don't have to be part of Co-op Institute to come to the Co-op Institute Plus sessions that we've been hosting this fall. So the next one is actually this afternoon, November 19th, and it's from 3 to 3:50 in the apartments at 525, and it's on career well-being. So this is actually the final Co-op Institute Plus session, and we'll be joined by members from the Project 40 team to learn about resiliency building techniques. It'll teach participants strategies to improve your career performance, and you'll leave the workshop with a plan to implement the strategies that you learn in your daily lives. So that's both whether you're on a co-op search or you're on co-op right now, actually. So hopefully we'll be hosting this session again for those students who are currently on co-op so that they can maybe take some of these lessons into their full-time job when they graduate. And then on November 21st, there's Managing Co-op Search Anxiety with Bridget McNamee from 5 to 6 p.m. in Wentworth 312. So those are two really great workshops about, you know, centered around kind of your well-being and your resiliency in your career, which is an important skill to build because you're going to be working for quite some time. So you'll need these strategies for decades to come. And then I think another important thing for everybody to remember, if you are on co-op right now, your student evaluation and your employer evaluation is due on December 2nd. So that's the Monday after Thanksgiving. So make sure you get those done.
That's coming right away.
It is coming. It's 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. Drop-in hours are every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 1:30 to 4 p.m. in our office, which is located at 101 Wentworth Hall. And those happen all while classes are in session. So that's through at least December 6th, December 8th.
Yes. I don't know the beginning of finals off the top of my head,
but the next couple weeks. So, that isn't to say that your advisors are on campus during finals week. And also once finals are done and you guys have left campus for your break, we are here until December 20th. So if you want to meet with your co-op and career advisor, you can make an appointment. If you're going to be traveling further away for the holidays and for the winter break, you can make a phone appointment with your advisor if you're not going to be physically here in the Boston area. So I think those are all some important reminders. Is there anything else?
Nope. That's what I've been reminding people about. That's everything, I believe.
Great. That's awesome. Follow us on Twitter. It's at WIT Co-ops Careers, also on Instagram. But on Twitter, you'll find all the up-to-date reminders and information and how-tos and articles and links to this and all sorts of other things. So check out our Twitter because it's always up to date.
And thank you again, Orion, for joining us today.
Yes, this was fantastic.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, everyone. We will not be live next Tuesday. We're taking the break for the holiday, and then we'll be back for one more show in the first week of December. So we will look forward to speaking with you then.
Bye.